message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 3:16. Let us pray. 2 Timothy 3:16. Can you please help me out with this? 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, "And all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Let us pray. Father, we honor you. We honor your word. Thank you for the spirit of prophecy in this place today. Thank you for supernatural supply of the spirit. Thank you for angelic ministry. Thank you for your power. Thank you that comes through spoken words. Let me speak as you would have me do. Speak through my vocal cord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, it can't be overemphasized in this church that the word instruction in 2 Timothy 3:16 is from the Greek word paideia, P-A-E-I-D-E-A, and it means tutelage. So that means the word of God is profitable for tutelage. A very beautiful thing I love about Christianity, apart from every other kind of quote-unquote religion in the world, is that Christianity is a faith of definite instruction. You can't approach the word of God and be left indifferent. And that also means there is nothing mystical in the Christian faith. If you want to see miracles happen, there's an instruction in the word of God that you will do and follow, and you will see miracles happen. If you want to see salvation occur and reoccur every day, there's an instruction in the word of God to make it happen. So there is nothing mystical. There is no mystery in the word of God. For instance, salvation I just spoke about, the Bible says in the book of Romans 10, verse 13 to 14, it says, "Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear except they be a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent?" So when you reverse that scripture, you can see the way to make salvation occur is to go preach, let them hear. When they hear, they believe. When they believe, they call upon the Lord and they'll be saved. Can you see that? Systematic. And salvation is meant to be a spiritual occurrence. In fact, it's the greatest miracle. And yet you can make it happen again and again. If you want to receive healing, the word of God has a precept on how to go about it. We saw in the book of Acts 3. We saw how healings took place. Paul preached. The guy impotent in his feet heard. He believed. Paul perceived he had faith to be healed. And Paul spoke and said, "Rise up on your feet." And the man stood up. Simple stuff. So the faith for anything comes by hearing the word of God on that material thing. So you see, the same thing applies when you see a particular experience that any Bible character exhibits in the word of God. You can replicate it in your life. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," Romans 15 verse 4, "were written for our learning that we through comfort of scripture might have hope. They were written for our admonition." Romans 15 verse 4. So when you see a particular Christian character or a Bible character that exudes a particular kind of grace in the word of God, you can exhibit the same. That's why it was recorded for you. So you can copy. So you can imitate. Like I told you, the word of God is an instruction manual. There's a pattern to imitate. There's a structure to follow. If you want to experience what happened in the life of Ruth, in the life of Esther, in the life of Jesus, there are instructions to follow. It's garbage in, garbage out. You input nothing, you ain't get nothing. So we're doing a teaching series for this rest of the month. We're doing a 6-part teaching for the next 3 Sundays. And I titled it "The Favor Factor." Or you can call it faith favor models. Favor models. Somebody say favor models. Say it again. And I have 2 objectives. And I'm going to reel it out quickly because time is already fast spent. I'm just going to do a preamble teaching in 1st service, and 2nd service, we'll go deep into it. And I beg you, listen to me, pay attention. This is not necessarily a teaching meeting. This is a prophetic preaching meeting. So open up your spirit. Are you hearing me? I'm going to be saying things by the Spirit of God. Receive it. Let your spirit take hold of it. All right? I came here with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel. Hallelujah. Man, I'm loaded right now. So when I speak, just receive it. Glory to God forevermore. Somebody, your level is changing today. You see, you started receiving. Amen. So I have two objectives. Number one is to prophetically launch you into tangible, unprecedented favor of God. I want to prophetically, listen, everything God did in scripture, it began with prophecy. It began with prophecy. He speaks prophetically. The salvation that you and I enjoy today began as a prophecy in Genesis 3:15. Think about that. That would happen 4,000 years later, but yet he prophesied it. In Genesis 3:15, God said to the woman, he says, the seed of the woman will bruise Satan's head. And we know a woman does not have a seed. What a woman has is an egg, or an egg rather. So the seed there is talking about virgin birth. Can you see that? So everything God does, he does with a prophecy. So I'm going to prophetically launch you into tangible, not intangible now, tangible, easily discernible, unprecedented favor of God. Number two is, I want to engage, of course, I want to engage your intellect through inductive learning as we comb out common denominators in the life of Ruth, Joseph, and Esther as our favor models for this teaching series. There are several favor models, but I want to unpick these three. Maybe some other time in the year, we'll look at some other personality. So what is inductive learning? Because you heard me mention that I want to engage your intellect, your mind, through inductive learning. Now, for those of you who are in education department, you know what inductive learning is already, right? Inductive learning simply means, you know, it's also called discovery learning. And it's a process where the learner discovers rules by observing patterns, by observing examples. So you discover rules by observing patterns and examples. Education students know what I'm talking about. It's called inductive learning. You know, what we do majorly in most schools, in most area or courses of learning, like majorly in science, what we do basically is deductive reasoning. And deductive reasoning is they give you a formula, a rule, and then you begin to apply. For example, when I was in secondary school, we were only two, my friend and I, that took further mathematics. Everybody was running away from it, and I can still cram some formula. Can still cram them, and even how to make it happen. Quadratic formula, minus b plus or minus square root b square minus 4ac all over 2a. How to begin with it? You have a square plus bx minus c equal plus c equals to zero. Then you move plus c to against the equation sign. Then you have minus c. For rule number one, divide both sides by the coefficient of x square. You divide both sides by a. And then you cut out. Then you have B, X square, all over C, A, you know, and so on and so forth. Then the next point is you divide both sides by the half of square of coefficient of B. And then from there you continue that. And then so it's a rule. It's stuck in my head. But inductive reasoning or inductive learning, beg your pardon, is different. Inductive learning is I'm going to observe patterns. Then I will personally draw out rules from those patterns. So now in the life of Ruth, we're looking at Ruth today in first and second service. Next week we'll look at Joseph, upper we'll look at Esther. Oh boy, there's someone here, man take care of behest. You are entering into favor.
Amen.
Listen, favor determines the extent of anyone's success. You can wear favor, people can see it on you. And one encounter with favor is worth more than a lifetime of labor. For 430 years, the children of Israel labored, but one day of favor was worth more than 430 years of labor. Someone is entering into favor today.
Amen.
You didn't say amen like you mean it.
Amen.
Remember, I say it's a prophetic meeting. So get ready to receive God's word as it comes per time. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. What is favor? Favor is the outworking of God's delight in and through your life. When God delights on you, then it's outworking. Favor means to endorse. It also means to assist. Listen, you need assistance. You need assistance. You know, the Lord led me to give a young man a very small amount of money some time ago. It was a seed because I'm so rich.
and it's a big money to me for now. And the young man broke into tears. He said, do you know that nobody has ever given me 10,000 naira in my life? And now I'm giving him something times 10 of it. It's a seed. And then it dawned on me that, wow, listen, it means that you can't really do anything to the extent in which God wants you to do it without favor. Listen, Jesus had to believe God for favor. Jesus walked in favor. You need favor. You need favor. And listen, favor is not fair. Like the lady that shared testimony last week about how, you know, she's been having seriousness with her issue with her academics. Where's that lady? Where's that lady that she said she's been having issues with her semester result? Then she came to me and I prayed with her and I prophesied over her that God is going to begin to guide her into area of concentration where she will read for exams. And then in dreams, God will show her where to read. How many of you were here last week when you shared testimony? Beautiful. How many of you were here? You saw it? Beautiful. And then she began to see where to read. And then she made all B's and one C. Now, listen. Somebody said, but why didn't God show all the Christians? That's favor. Favor is not fair. Your lecturer can say, come, I just like you. You know what? We did 5 topics this semester, right? This particular one and this particular one, that's where 70% of the question will come from. Make sure you read it. And then you go and then you bury yourself. Others are reading everything, you know? Everybody's reading everything. Some will even, have you seen people who read 2 minutes to exam? They are still carrying the book like this, all right? But you know area of concentration. Then you focus and then the exam comes out, you begin to give the marking scheme. And then you come out with A. Nobody say, guy, you good. You are not good. It was favor.
Ah, yeah.
And favor is not fair.
Yeah.
Somebody say, I am favored.
Favor.
Say it again.
I am favored.
Say it again.
I am favored.
Say it again.
I am favored.
As I say it again.
I am favored.
So favor means to assist. And there are two ways assistance in scripture we have seen. Number one is divine assistance. Divine assistance, where God uses a divine means to assist you. Divine assistance. Then the second one is human assistance. Men have a ministry in your life to assist you. There is such a thing as the ministry of men. There is such a thing as the help of men. That's God. And guess what? This second level of assistance is actually an outflow of the first level, which is divine assistance. When God places in the heart of men to assist you. When God places in the heart of men to assist you. Divine assistance. Can you open to the book of Exodus 22? God is assisting somebody today.
Yeah.
Someone is receiving divine assistance today.
Yeah.
You better catch it. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. It's a prophetic meeting. Catch it. I see somebody is assisting. Somebody is being assisted today in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at this. Exodus 22 verse 20. He says, behold, I sent an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. And to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. So there is a place God has prepared for them, but God still has to send an angel to assist them. You are receiving angelic assistance today.
Amen.
23, it says, for my angel shall go before thee. 23, my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, and I will cut them off. You see, human assistance. Open to Proverbs 21 quickly. Open Proverbs 21. Media, show me Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 1. Human assistance. I told you human assistance is also an outflow of divine assistance. Outflow. The outflow. He says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So God can turn the heart of men in your favor. Listen, look at me. Statistics shows that all over the world, we are just 3 persons in between away from everyone. That means I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows Donald Trump, that knows Obama, that knows Calamaris, that knows President Buhari. That's what statistics shows. We are just 3 persons away from anyone in the world. Think about that. That means locked in people are ladders and ways to receive help. And everyone on that ladder, that rung of ladder, you know, rung, R-U-N-G. And everyone on that rung of ladder,
their heart today is calibrated in your favor.
Yeah.
I prophesy. I declare that men are strategically positioned. Nakus Ambraki Telebehes to bring you favor.
Amen.
Your name is mentioned in places that matters.
Amen.
Can I hear a big amen?
Amen?
So God can calibrate the heart of men. Jesus lived in favor. Luke 2:52, the Bible says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You need favor to fulfill your destiny. You need favor, divine favor, with God and with man. You need favor. And there's something about favor. Favor is like faith. It demands that God be your source and your only source. And you see, faith comes by hearing. Faith for anything comes by hearing the will of God on that matter. You see, F.F. Bosworth, a father in faith, rest in peace, he says, faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God on a matter, you can't express faith in it. For example, you see, you can't express faith on something that you were not promised. If I never promised you $20,000, you can't just wake up one morning and say, I have faith, I will go to pastor's house and collect $20,000. I must have given you a word for it. Come on, talk to me. So faith begins where the will of God is known on any matter. So question is, does God really desire to favor his children? Is he willing? We know he can. A lot of people know God is powerful, God can, but is he willing? Is he willing to give you? Well, I will show you in the book of Psalms 5 and verse 11. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Are you a righteous man?
Yes, sir.
Are you a righteous man?
Yes, sir.
Why are you righteous? Because Jesus is your righteousness. Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. He will. He's not just able. He will. He's not just able. There are many people who are able to help, but they have not chosen to help, right? But God is both able and willing. So he says, thou will bless the righteous with favor, without compass him as with a shield. Somebody is entering into unprecedented favor today.
Yeah.
Favor, favor, favor. Let me touch quickly on the book of Ruth. Let me give you a preamble, then I'll go deep in second service because time is already fast spent. It's a prophetic meeting, and make sure you are receiving it. You are receiving it. Glory to God forevermore. There's someone here that your uncle is the one that is actually sponsoring your academics. Hear me? And things have been going down recently. By the hand of the Lord, there is a resurrection in his finances.
Yeah.
Because you see, sometimes people that God sends to help you, they have the willingness, but they don't have the power. So sometimes praying for them is praying for yourself. So I pray. Every human being whose heart God has touched to support and favor you, God is bringing resources to their hand.
Amen.
Let your amen be loud.
Amen.
Let me tell you the book of Ruth 1 quickly. Ruth 1. Let me just do a quick reading. PA, can you help me with something to wipe up? Praise God. Ruth 1. In the book of Ruth 1, I'm going to do a quick reading, and I want you to pay attention. Oh, Ruth 1, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, the word Bethlehem means house of bread. Now, Bible says, a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, a Gentile nation. He and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. So much lesson there. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So here we see a woman in a quagmire. In 10 years, she has lost all the men she has ever loved in her life. Her husband and her two sons. So she finds herself in a situation in a company of two other women that only one thing that joins them together is grief. They have just one thing in common, the loss of a loved one. This was her situation. And so now, by the time she gathers herself back, she tries to talk the two daughter-in-laws that, listen, there is no hope anymore. I am old. I can't have sons for you to marry, even if I want to. Would you please go back to your town so that I will go back to my own place in Bethlehem? In Ruth 1:8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. What a sad situation. Then verse 10, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Two of them. But in verse 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters. For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Verse 14. And they lifted up their voice again and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You see, so we see Orpah walks away from Naomi. Listen, when people can walk away from you, let them walk. I say again, when people can walk away from you, let them walk. I mean, you don't have to talk another person to loving you, to caring about you, to calling you, to checking on you. When people can walk away from you, let them what? I say, when people can walk against from you, let them walk. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Your destiny is not tied to anyone that left. I repeat, your destiny is not tied to anyone that left. If they were part of you, they would not have left. They were living because they were not part of you. And if somebody is not tied to you, you can't make them stay. People left you because they are not joined to you, and you can't make them stay. They didn't stay because their destiny isn't tied to yours. They become extra baggage for you. So the decision of Ruth definitely couldn't have been a product of natural calculation, because by the situations that was on ground, it was evident that the natural decision to make was to go. I mean, the woman is old. The woman is old. She can't have a new husband now. And even if she has a husband today, and she gives birth to a son, how long will the child grow to be able to start marrying those ladies, Ruth and Orpah? How old? So the natural thing to do was to move. But the Bible says Ruth clave unto her. And psychologists have done certain studies. I've read some psychological studies. They are mesmerized about how that the greatest alliances in human history that gives birth to things of, you know, transgenerational impact are born out of people who born together yet without any blood relation. Psychologists are mesmerized. They can't explain why. Can you explain to me how Timothy, a young teenager, will be hanging around the prison door trying to speak through the pigeonhole with a man that was meant to be beheaded, picking up his writings and sending it to believers somewhere? How do you explain to me Elisha A man that the Bible says he had 12 yoke of oxen. 12 means he has 24 oxen. A yoke means two oxen. That means equivalent of one tractor. This man had 12 tractors. He was doing big farming, big time. And then he drops all that he is doing and he follows a man he doesn't know. How do you explain? We can go on and on. You see, there's something about the way somebody speaks. There's something about somebody that just makes you know, I need to know and follow this man. There's something about Paul that made Timothy say, my destiny is tied to this man. Psychologists have done studies and they can't realize what is this thing. That the greatest allies, the greatest coming together of humans in history that gives birth to the greatest things that are transgenerational are usually a product of two people who are not related by blood. Why? Because you see, there's something about instinct. There's something about your spirit that tells you. There's something that makes you stand in the position of root where you have better options. But he said, no, I got to follow this one because I know there is a witness in my spirit. This is how root positioned herself into favor. A Moabite, a Gentile, became a member in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it's done. When you are positioned, and then you know by the spirit that no, there's something about this thing. Listen to me, church. Look up, everybody. You see, when you begin to position yourself this way and you listen to the spirit of God, it will guide you into not necessarily popular decisions, but guess what? It is God's decision. So when people can walk away from you, let them what? Because nothing just happened. Somebody say, nothing just happened. Say it again. Say it again. Imagine Saul. Saul was out there because he thinks something just happened. He thought it was an happenstance. Saul was looking for his father's lost donkey. He was going with his father's, slave. Eliezer, that's the king's slave of his father's house. And they were just going out and trying to look for this lost oxen. But a day before, God has spoken in the ear of the prophet Samuel that you will see a young man, the son of Kish. Listen, he does not belong to the lineage of the king. But he was just going out looking for his father's ass, his father's lost young donkey. And Samuel walks up to him and says, come. Today, is it not because God has delighted in you? And he began to speak good words to him about how he will be a king. And Saul said, how would this be? I don't belong to the king lineage. How would these things be? But listen to Saul, it was coincidence. But listen, God has spoken to Samuel a day before. Because nothing just I'm tired of speaking to people who just assume things just happen of their own accord. There is no coincidence with the man who is of the spirit. You mean you just came to Kefi? Some of you wrote several jams. You wanted to go to ABU. You wanted to go to OAU. You wanted to go to UNN. You wanted to go to University of Uyo. You wanted to go to Foot Mina. It just didn't work until you stuck in for Insook and you got this admission. You wanted a particular course, but it wasn't giving you. Why don't you just think that it is God like a puppet master? Beside and behind the curtain, pulling strings all the time, working things together for your good. You think it was just coincidence for you? You came to Kefi and now you walked up from the street and you saw the church Cornerstone Christian Center and then you walked in. You think it was coincidence? You thought you thought it up for yourself? No, that's people who don't understand spiritual things. You have to realize the reason why you are here, why you made the call you made that made you come here, why you made the friend that invited you to be here, why you made that you turn a minute to become here is because nothing just happened. Oh, I'm preaching that you are reacting. Somebody say nothing. The Bible said in the book of Psalm 37, verse 22. Psalm 37, 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God has been behind the curtain like a puppet master, pulling strings in your life. God has put you in your destiny, and now you are here. Would you make the best use of it? You know, a very sad situation I will look into in second service is how people leave Bethlehem, the house of promise, the house of bread, and they go into Moabites. They go into Moab because of famine. Famine is temporal. Don't make eternal decisions because of temporary situation. I come again. Don't make eternal decision because of temporal situation. I saw a picture on Facebook. It was a meme of a man who was in the cell. And then there was a ladder. And then the ladder was there outside of the gate. And then that ladder, it was cold right there in the prison. And the man had fire. The fire was going out. And instead of him to bring up the ladder, endure the cold, and, you know, climb on the rung, R-U-N-G, of the ladder to escape from the prison, this man, with his hand, began to break the ladder into pieces and put into fire so that he can get more heat. But he's still in the prison. He lacked wisdom. Say after me, I do not lack wisdom. Say it louder. Let me just say a few things about Ruth. I'm going deep into it in second service. Ruth positioned herself for favor. How? She honored the instruction of the one God has placed over her. That is Naomi. We'll go through it in second service. Everything Ruth was instructed by Naomi, she did. Everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
Say it again.
Everything.
She honored the instruction. The same thing with Esther. She followed the instruction of Mordecai. Listen, there will always be a coach in your life. And you have to honor the coach. You will not like their face. There's always a coach. Listen, there is somebody God will have supernaturally positioned. She honored, and that positioned her. There are actually three things that Ruth did, and I will share that in second service. Three basic things she did. It's like, I'll call second service, journeying into favor. You need favor, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I said, you need favor, don't you?
Yes, sir.
There's a way to position yourself. I told you that the Bible is replete with tutelage material. 2 Timothy 3:16 is an instruction manual. Christianity is a faith of definite instruction. There is something I can do to trigger the same thing I see in the life of Jesus. If I want to see miracle in my ministry like I saw in Jesus, I can study the life of Jesus. If I want to see the things I see in the life of Ruth, I can study the life of Ruth. Those things were penned down so that I, through comfort of scriptures, might have hope. Those things were written for my learning and for my admonition. Those things were written for my example to follow. So Ruth honored the instruction. A man without instruction is a disaster going somewhere to happen. Anyone who resists, who does not receive, or who resents instruction is about to perish. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 4, verse 13 to 15, he says, take hold of instruction. Hold on unto her. Keep her. Let her not go, for she is thy life. Instruction is your life. So she receives instruction from the one God has placed upon her. Hebrews 13 verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourself to them. For they watch over your soul and they will give account. Let them do it not with grief, for that is not profitable to you. Number two, the Lord ordered our steps to glean in a specific field. I told you nothing just. So Ruth comes, follows Naomi to this new land where she knows nobody, and now she chooses to serve. Oh, I'm already talking about second service already. I'm already biting into what I have to give for those in second service. And then she goes to this field to glean. I know gleaning is something that they do in the olden days in Israel, in Bible days. When people go to farm and then they are trying to harvest the things that they did not pack all of it from the farm, those poor kids will go there and then they'll begin to glean from that. That's called gleaning. Why did Ruth? It just happened. It has Hamrotoba. It just happened that of all the fields where people were gleaning, she turned out to go into a particular field that belonged to a man who is going to be a kinsman redeemer. It turns out to be that she's going to be in a place where the person will have been the one who have heard the good news of her service to her mother-in-law. Oh, nothing just happened. Any Christian who believes things just happen just like that, lives his life to happenstance, is a sorry Christian. Specific field. Specific field. There are many churches, but there is a specific church. There are many ladies, but there is a specific lady. There are many men, but there is a specific man. Someone say specific. Specific. Say it again. Specific. Say it again. Specific. Say it again. Specific. I'll talk more on that. Second sentence. Number three, a service which she sowed in the life of Naomi witnessed in her favor. When Boaz met with her, this was a young, rich man. She just happened. Think about this. Because you see, you, if you think you got the power to think how you can just get yourself out of God's plan, you are out of your mind. You are talking nonsense. You are thinking nonsense. You don't have sense. Because listen, God is bigger than your head. Your brain, that little 6-pound brain, is too small to wrap yourself around God's plan for your life. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, but the guy went somewhere else. But guess what? It just happened. You see, it just happened that when they threw him in the middle of the sea, it just happened that a particular fish, come on, shout, nothing just happened.
Nothing just happened.
It just happened that as they threw him out of the boat, what happened to him? A certain fish was just positioned to carry him. You see, you have to realize that, you see, if you sit down and begin to introspect and reason out the events as they unfold in your life, you will realize why you can reckon with that music with Mama Cissy Winers when she said, all of my life, you've been faithful. Some people will begin to question, has God really been faithful? The problem is you haven't really sat down to think about it. That even the wrong things, the wrong situations, the wrong circumstances in your life, in one way or the other, they turn out to work out for your good. Think about Joseph. His brother hated on him because he had a good dream. His brother hated on him because he had a gift. But it turned out their hatredness rather pushed him to destiny. He moved from pit to prison, from prison to Potiphar's house, from Potiphar's house to palace. You could just be at one stage of your life and you're wondering, why is this happening to me? If only you can see beyond your natural sense, if you can see the divinity at work in your natural circumstances. If the world knew 1 Corinthians 2:6-7, had the world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In their mind, they think in killing Jesus, they were going to end his career. Little did they know that Jesus was a seed. They buried him, but he brought forth harvest of many seed. They want to stop his miracle, but today, all over the world, miracles are happening today. Why? Because when he was on earth, he could only be in one place at a time. But at his resurrection, he has the Spirit of God in us all over. Now, Jesus is everywhere now. The Spirit of God is Jesus Unlimited. But the world never knew. They thought they were going to kill him and stop his career. If only you would know that that death you're going through, that wrong situation, if you could see the hand of God in it, if you could learn the lesson you need to learn from it, if you only get to realize nothing just happened. A service which she saw in the life of Naomi witnessed in her favor. It was the subject of conversation. You know, I was listening to a woman. Time is gone. Number four, let me raise this. Time is gone. Number four. Oh boy. There's someone here. God is ordering your steps.
Amen.
Come on. It just happened that Ruth went to glean and it just happened that she went to glean in the specific land, in the specific farm that belongs to a man called Boaz. And Boaz was going to be a kinsman redeemer. Let me tell you about kinsman redeemer in Jewish culture. If a man dies without raising a kid, the next person in the king line will be the one to stand up and raise children. For that particular man, it could be the younger brother or somebody close in the relatives. And that was who Boaz was. It just happened that when she got there, Boaz was going to say, who is that young lady? Who is that fine girl? Who is that brown-skinned girl? Who is that girl dripping glory? Who is that girl shouting? Listen to me. The name Ruth means beauty. She dripped beauty. She is beauty. Somebody say, I am Ruth. Say it again. Say, I am Ruth. Say, I am Ruth. I drip glory. Oh, glory to God. And guess what? Oh, man, take a labor. In Ruth 3 verse 18, look at what Naomi said. Naomi said, then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. Listen, everyone that is a custodian of God's favor to you will not rest. Amen. Remember Mordecai, the king could not sleep. The king could not sleep. He said, get me the book of remembrance. A book of remembrance is open for you today. Yeah. And then he says, what have we done to this man that once saved my life? And they said, no, we have not done nothing. Oh, and he called this man, called Naaman. He says, Naaman, come here. What can I do to a man who the king wants to honor? And Naaman thought it was about him. And Naaman said, to do to somebody you desire, you're going to get one of the best choice of the princes of the king. Uh-huh. You're going to get a horse and put him on it. Uh-huh. You're going to put a royal diadem on his hand. Uh-huh. You're going to wear him a royal cloth. Uh-huh. And that king's choicest prince will be behind this person you want to honor. And he'll be shouting, this is the king's man. This is the king's man. He said, okay, get me that man. Call Mordecai, put him on that thing, and you go and shall be behind him. This is the man. This is the king's man. This is the king's man. This is the king's man. You are entering into favor today. The king will not sleep because of you. The Bible says the heart of the king is like a water course, and he directs it wherever he will. The art of men are directed in your favor today. Yeah. Say this out to them. Say, Father, I thank you. Give it to me. Give it to me on the screen. Father, I thank you. Because you have encompassed me with favor. I have respected your priests. I have honored your elders that you placed upon me. Therefore, I declare I am clothed with your honor. I find favor with God and man. I walk in discernment on my way to the land God has prepared for me. I am beauty. I drip glory. My name is Ruth. My name is Ruth. In the name of Jesus, my steps are ordered. I am led to glean in the fields of those you have sent to help me. Therefore, people of means, people of godly heritage, they notice me. They help me. I declare, I do not lack help. I do not lack help. I am not stranded. I am firm. I have access to the heart of men that matters. I am continually invited to a feast of joyous things. I declare on the account of favor, I stand before kings in places where my natural competence could not have brought me. I am no longer reproached amongst people. The Lord! The Lord.
He's my God.
He
establishes me.
Even in a strange land.
Even in a strange land.
The Lord
establishes me
in a strange land.
By the favor of God,
I come into harvest.
I come into harvest.
I become part
of organizations,
economies,
families,
nations
in the season
of their harvest.
Therefore,
I benefit
greatly
from prosperity
that I did not work
for.
I declare
I am planted
in the place
God has ordained
for my lifting.
My gifting
is of value.
I locate problems
that I am equipped.
Oh, say, I locate problems
that I am equipped
to solve.
My natural habitation
is a place of rest.
Grace,
favor
makes provision
for me
in my areas
of deficiencies.
Say, grace,
favor
makes provisions
for me
in my area
of deficiencies.
I am not deprived.
I am not
held back
by my past.
I declare
my mistakes
of the past
will not be
my limitation.
My past
can never,
will never
be my hindrance
to the unfolding
of the goodness of God
in my life.
Say, therefore,
I possess
heritage
I don't deserve.
The blood
of my kinsman,
the blood
of my Redeemer
is speaking,
speaking good things,
speaking blessings,
speaking glory,
speaking upliftment,
speaking establishment
in my favor.
In the name of Jesus,
every sacrifice,
every labor
that I have committed
for righteous cause,
they stand
as a witness
in my favor.
My reward
is evident
to all.
I have become a reminder
that God answers prayer.
By the favor of God,
my storehouses
are full.
My bank account
flourishes
in all the currency
that matters.
In dollars,
in pound sterling,
in dollars,
in pound sterling,
my bank account
flourishes
with currencies
that matters.
I declare
I am prosperous.
I increase
in the name of Jesus.
Men,
they had to me
in material substance,
valuable contact.
Say, valuable contact.
Say, valuable contact.
Say, valuable contact.
Say, valuable contact.
Valuable contact.
Valuable contact.
Inspired ideas
and spiritual treasures.
In the name of Jesus,
those who have been ordained
to help me,
those who have been ordained
to help me,
they will not rest.
They will not rest.
They will not rest
until they have done the will of God
to me.
I declare
every decision maker,
every decision maker
relevant
to my advancement
has the mind of Christ.
In the name of Jesus,
they are influenced by the power of God
in my favor,
and they obey
the will of God
concerning me.
I am roots.
I am roots.
I am roots.
I am beauty.
I am beauty.
I didn't say beautiful. Say,
I am beauty.
I drip glory.
Shout glory!
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 Somebody give out a shout!
Say this after me. Say,
I am the redeemed of the Lord.
Whatever I say
is so.
Angels
Go now.
Bring forth
my provision.
Go now.
Bring forth
everything
that I've spoken
in line
with the word of God.
My name is Favor.
I am roots.
I am roots.
I am roots.
I am favored.
Favor is mine.
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 We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 07 8566. We celebrate you.